views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is October the 11th, 2017 on this Wednesday afternoon. It is a gorgeous day here in the state of North Carolina. Got a lot of news to share with you, but during today's broadcast, we will focus again on this so-called BIE report that was released in August or published in August by the FBI Counterterrorism Division. As we have been looking into this article over the past 2 days, we will continue today. I think we're on page 5. They're just about to start talking about the Moors, which we were discussing yesterday. So this report should be taken very seriously, even though it is an absurd methodology that was used to put this report together. I've been listening to a couple of news reports from people at different news media outlets and think tanks, and they've been pretty much saying the same things that have been said on Black Talk Radio News over the past couple of days, either by myself or by some of our callers. So let me go ahead and give out those telephone numbers again and ways that you can become involved in this conversation. If you have any news to share, any views on this particular report you want to share or anything you want to share that's related, give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. You can hit **. That'll put you in the caller's queue. Once I see that you have unmuted yourself, we'll definitely come to you. And again, over the past couple of days, lots of important points and observations were made and shared over the program. So again, I'm not going to say exclusively during the second hour, we're going to continue to look at this report, break it down, and share our assessments of this report. But we will do that after we get through some of the other news that I need to share with you this morning. Also, just a quick network note. Every other Tuesday, beginning with yesterday, Tuesday, I am the audio engineer for the Tando radio show that comes on Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. They were not on air yesterday, as every other Tuesday I have been tasked to accompany one of my grandsons to his soccer practice. He's playing soccer now. He's only 5 years old, but he's playing soccer now. And so I let Dave know that every other Tuesday I won't be able to broadcast the program live for him, but if he wants to do pre-recorded, he can do that. So if you were wondering why they weren't on air yesterday, I have to realize that as I get older and I'm watching my grandchildren, you know, get taller, get bigger, get stronger. And I devote so much time to Black Talk Media Project that I'm missing out on life. And I can't miss out on life. And while I'll always be concerned about the lives of others, at the same time, my family needs me to be there for them as well. So that's why Tando Radio Show wasn't on air yesterday. Every other Tuesday, I will be going with my grandson to his soccer practices until his mother no longer needs me to do that, my daughter. All right, so just wanted to let people know about that. Also, the BTR Weekly newsletter was published on Sunday. Some information in there related to terrestrial radio and the coming death of black terrestrial radio, which I wouldn't say is a bad thing considering that it's terrestrial radio masquerading as if it is black produced and is controlled by black people. And, you know, yesterday on YouTube, I was on YouTube, and no, I have not been publishing some of our radio programs. We would publish them as videos to YouTube. We did have an automated service we were paying for that did that for us, but we're no longer utilizing that platform because the distribution wasn't worth what we were paying for. We were getting far more distribution on Black Talk Radio Network, our home. And so that's why you haven't been seeing those radio shows posted to YouTube. Plus, YouTube is tripping right now. Google is tripping right now. They've been demonetizing a whole lot of videos. Not that we was making any kind of money on YouTube, but anytime the words coming out of your mouth are controlled by you worried about losing advertisers or YouTube demonetizing your videos, then I would say, you know, you need to find another business then. You know, you need to find something else to try to make money, because we're not on here to make money. We're on here to disseminate information. And that's the way I look at how black people should be using social media, should be using these other platforms, but most importantly, should be building their own platforms, as I was made aware of in a story today. So check this out. This story was posted to btrcommunity.com, which is a social media network that was set up for the listeners of our platform. Black Talk Radio Network is a $24 a year subscription. You can get one for $5 a month if you just want to try it out, or $1 a week, you know, but $24 a year is the most economical way to use it. But it appears that someone has launched a Black Twitter app, and it's trending on white Twitter. Now, I'm reading a headline that was posted by one of our BTR community members, Strategic Melanin, and she tagged me in this post, so thank you for tagging me. Sometimes I don't see everything that people, y'all got to realize, hundreds of people are tagging me and stuff, and I'm just not always able to read and review everything. But I saw this, and I was like, interesting. This is very interesting. Black Twitter social app launches trending on white Twitter. This was published in the Hip Hop Wired by Lance Strong. Now, I haven't even read the article. It may be a video as I load it up. But I was more interested in what the BTR community members had to say. And they had some things, pretty interesting points that was being made. Like, they can't identify who exactly set up Black Twitter. They don't know. They don't see a picture of anybody. They don't know. Those are good questions to ask. Those are great questions to be asking. So, you know, everybody that's part of BTR community knows who's behind BTR community, which is the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, which is also behind the world's largest independent black media platform, Black Talk Radio Network. So this is wanting to load up an ad, but we'll give a listen to it. Let me see if I can get this thing to play. Give me just a second here. Because a lot of times these ads start up automatically on the page. And I had this browser app for Google Chrome that doesn't permit them. It doesn't work all the time, but it doesn't permit them. So I'm not able to get this to play, and I'm sure it's due to that app. But Blitter, this is the name of this new so-called Black Twitter platform. Blitter, a new app that launched last Friday, and that will be October the 6th, that seeks to be an exclusive space combining the best of Black Twitter, is currently trending on the national Twitter network. The reactions to the app launch have been robust so far, but only iPhone users can hop on the train for now. Developer Patrick Francis launched the app via iTunes with the following descriptor. Blitter is a social network built on love, passion, and empathy. Blitter does not condone racism, sexism, harassments, bots, or hate speech whatsoever. We are 100% independent from any investors and display no ads. Well, that sounds like a BTR community, doesn't it? Okay, now, here is the thing, though. And I will do some more research on this. I never heard of this Patrick Francis guy. Let me see if I can pull it up and find something on him. Let me see. There's a Patrick Francis on Amazon.com who sells clothing, shoes, and jewelries. Yeah, that pretty much seems to be the extent of it. Patrick Francis from Ireland, Dublin, Ireland. I don't know. I don't know who this person is. But it is always good to know the background of these people. So let me go through some of these questions that were asked in BTR community. Where does the term Black Twitter originate? I've been curious about that for a while. And Strategic Melanin found an article that says that the earliest known use of the term Black Twitter was in the title of an article titled Black Twitter, a Starter Kit, which was published on African American Culture online magazine, The Root, on February the 4th, 2010. The article contained useful tips for using Twitter, arguing that the Black community is a powerful force on the microblogging site. Okay. This was also posted in the thread. I can't confirm this was created, FUBU, whatever that stands for. I would think the creator would have a picture, background, interview, something. I can't find anything. Suspect. I would agree with that. That if you can't find any kind of background, any kind of history, any kind of mention when somebody launches something like that, you know, there's usually a media campaign about it, and perhaps that's what we're seeing now. So I'm a reserve judgment for now until we get more information, but I'm sure that some people will say, hey, that's racist, and I hope they're not using the Twitter icon or anything, just making it a black bird instead of a blue bird, and all, because then you're getting into intellectual property, you're getting into trademarks and things of that nature. But how does this person plan to, if they don't plan on having any ads on the network, how do they plan to pay for the network? It may be very low cost when nobody's using it, but if it gets, let's say, 100 million users, then the cost of running that platform or that app is going to go up, because those apps, even though you're talking about a phone app, it's still based on the internet. It's got to go to an internet server and get the programming information for it to operate properly. Okay, so there are a lot of costs involved in that. I've already looked into it. I actually had a company that tried to recruit me to become a app maker and seller because they had developed some software where you can make these apps real. I ain't gonna say real easy, but it makes it easier to create apps on that platform. I only got to try it out for about 2 weeks. And because they wanted me to pay money up front, and it was a lot of money too, I was like, no, we'll pass on that. Okay, so no, I'm not interested in becoming a app reseller or anything of the sort. But it costs money to run those things. It costs a lot of money. So again, how will it sustain itself without advertisements? The only way it could sustain itself is if it takes donations and the people who actually use it support it. That's how we sustain ourselves. And while we haven't had widespread support, I would say less than 1% of the people who use Black Talk Radio actually have ever made any kind of donation to the Black Talk Media Project, the nonprofit running it. So we've been able to, you know, struggle and get by over for the past 8 years. Again, actually, Twitter launched in 2008. That was one of the first people to join Twitter. And when I was still on Blog Talk Radio at the time, and they hadn't kicked me off because I don't think I had created Black Talk Radio, the program on that platform, at that time. But I saw Twitter. I saw the potential of Twitter to help push content as a push media tool. That's the term I was looking for. All that means is you're pushing media out to different people through different platforms. And I immediately identified Twitter as a potential tool for pushing our media out there. I even did a radio program on it when I was on Blog Talk Radio. And I remember this lady telling me, hey, Twitter ain't for that. That ain't what you use Twitter for. Twitter is just for individuals talking to each other in 100 and however many characters or less. And I told her, Twitter is for whatever I want to use it for. Who you going to tell me? How you going to tell me what to use Twitter for? So I'm using it to tweet out invites to radio programs. You got a problem with that, take it up with Twitter. Don't come to Scotty. So, you know, I've been on Twitter since it launched in 2008. And a lot of black people use Twitter. Okay, I haven't really had any problems on Twitter in terms of, you know, being self-identified as a black network. You know, our Twitter handle is at Black Talk Radio. I'm having really no interactions with Twitter or their staff or anything like that. And I'm sure people have flagged some of our content as, you know, in their expressions of anti-blackness. But I've never been suspended on Twitter. They pretty much just leave me alone. That's been my experience since 2008. YouTube, as I was talking about YouTube, I got a note on our channel the other day from YouTube saying if some of the videos have been demonetized, that's because they weren't advertiser friendly. And I was saying to myself, if they were advertiser friendly to these corporations, many of which are profiting off of 21st century slavery and human trafficking, as well as the exploitation of non-prison labor. And if they found our content to be advertiser friendly, then something is wrong with us and what we're putting out. So, you know, just some thoughts I had on that. So you got this app now, it's called Blitter, and it is supposed to be the black Twitter social app. I don't have an iPhone, so I won't be joining. I don't plan on buying no iPhone either. But anyway, there you have it. All right, I do have some other news. Let me go to my email. Check my email right quick. And, of course, today is, as always, we share news, commentary, and music with you. You can jump in at any time if you have any comments on any of the stories I'm going in on. Just give us a call, 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. For those who are outside of the United States, I understand that some of you may have problems trying to connect with that 866 number. Give us a call at 704-802-5056, and you can it comes straight to the conference line, and you hit star to unmute yourself using that as well. You can access the conference line and participate in chat by going to Black Talk Radio. Excuse me, that's uberconference.com/ Black Talk Radio Network. That's uberconference.com/ Black Talk Radio Network. I see we're just joined by Sister Strategic Melanin, and we just shared the story that you posted in BTR community, and you are right to question who the creator is and looking for a picture, some backgrounds, an interview, or something. Because this could be set up by the FBI. This could be set up by any agency within the federal government to monitor the black community and what have you. So, again, everybody knows who's a part of BTR community, who set it up and why it was set up. But those are very legitimate questions, Strategic Melanin. So thank you with that. There is a petition that is circulating that I got in my email from the Daily Kos, and I don't like the Daily Kos. They actually banned me last year for writing a factual article, and it wasn't even an opinion piece, but I shouldn't call it an article. It was a blog post, and I sourced it. It was based on statements made by a judge in the Hillary Clinton email case. through the Freedom of Information Act request. I think it was Judicial Watch that was suing them for them emails. So I wrote this was when she was still in the heat of the contest with Bernie Sanders. And so I wrote this article pointing out that this was against the law, that it was unacceptable what she did as a career, they try to tell us that she has all this experience in government, first lady, senator, first lady of Arkansas, always been Bill's right hand woman, and just very involved, not your typical first lady who made, you know, just want to start a garden in the Rose Garden and talk about eating healthy and exercising, which is important things, but not really get involved in the political process of the White House and what have you. Hillary Clinton, you can't say that about her. And so I was just pointing out how this could harm her in a general election. And they banned me. They suspended me. You had all these Hillary bots come after me. Oh, this a right-wing troll, and this is a smear job. All of this was factual. It was linking the article. So they banned me, okay? And so, you know, they've always been a source of information. I get information from all over the place, from different sources that have different political ideology and affiliations and whatnot. But that's because I'm trying to report news, and I should have as many sources as I can handle. And I often get overwhelmed by all the emails that I get from all these different sources and people tagging me on different stuff. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's hard to keep up with it. So that's the background on the Daily Cost. It's run by, I forget the white guy's name who runs it, but he's a billionaire, strong Hillary Clinton supporter and what have you. And they didn't, you know, they're into censoring speech, especially as it pertains to Hillary Clinton. So anyway, they sent out an email. I guess they banned me, but they didn't remove me from their email list. But it says, Scotty, despite advocates' tireless efforts to uphold the constitutionally protected practice of affirmative action, Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions are seeking to undo progress on civil rights in colleges and universities. It's a petition they're asking you to sign. It says affirmative action and other policies that promote inclusivity are beneficial not only for the oppressed populations, but the entire higher education system overall. If Trump and the DOJ are successful in rolling this back, it sets a dangerous precedent for all civil rights. Policies like affirmative action only begin to remedy the centuries of deep-rooted white supremacy that lives and thrives in this country. It is clear that Trump's administration has an agenda for practices centering equity and inclusion. I'm not sure what they meant by that sentence. Now is the time to stand up for civil rights and denounce white supremacy. So what they're talking about is long-standing precedents and laws that were passed as a form of reparations to the victims of slavery and the victims of white supremacy. That's what it was stated. Lyndon Johnson stated this at a college when he announced the affirmative action program. They've done everything they can to weaken it, including giving slots to non-African Americans and just giving them to continental Africans. And it wasn't set up for them. They wasn't enslaved in this country. They didn't come here. I mean, they weren't a part of Jim Crow and institutional racism and white supremacy and terrorism and all that. And when the affirmative action was launched, it wasn't for them. This is for Africans here on the continent, born here, raised here, lived here all their lives. This is what this was set up for. So they've been, even the so-called liberal colleges have been weakening affirmative action. So I just want to be honest. I want to be objective. I don't want to be just on bashing the right wing or bashing the Trump administration. I want to be honest about these things and share all the information and let people make their own determination. But I mean, Duke a university, Duke University, which is here in North Carolina. Now, I wouldn't exactly call it a liberal college or anything like that, but you got this person who is part of the enrollment process or recruiting process. Say that, hey, they rather have continental Africans on their campus because they are not likely to participate in demonstrations or protests against institutional racism. They're not likely to call for the removal of Confederate statues on campus that are celebrating and glorifying slavery and white supremacist terrorists and what have you. So that has been going on for a long time. So this is just a continuation of that attack. All right. So I think it's worthwhile. Let me see. Here is the, this was put out there by Kelly Soto on Daily Cost. The participating organizations who are backing this petition are the Center for Media Justice, the Daily Cost, the Franciscan Action Network, People Demanding Action, and People for the American Way, Presente.org, and Watchdog.net. All right, so that's that. Let me see. We're coming up on a station identification and music break here in just about 3 minutes. Man, why is my email taking so long to load up? Because I'm sure I got some other news to share. Now, y'all might have saw this. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but y'all might have heard about Mike Pence, the vice president of USA Inc., Donald Trump's second. And he walked out of an NFL game, supposedly over a kneeling protest. Again, these NFL players have been kneeling to highlight that Americans, primarily black Americans, have been murdered, extrajudicially killed, framed, brutalized, raped. Yes, raped. And y'all forgot about that cop out there in Oklahoma? And so all of this is going on, and not many of these people are being held accountable. They're actually getting paid vacation for killing black people. And we're going to take a knee because that flag in this anthem ain't talking about us. It ain't standing for us. It ain't the liberty and the freedom and the justice y'all say it stands for. It's not being applied to all Americans. And so, you know, we're going to highlight that by taking a knee for our fallen comrades. A lot of people forget that Colin Kaepernick went to a former, I think the guy was in the Green Beret, but he was in the U.S. Army. And, excuse me. And Colin Kaepernick asked him, do you think it's disrespectful or it could be interpreted as being disrespectful if I sit down during the national anthem to the troops? Cause, you know, they've been telling us they can't seem to make up their mind whether the flag stands for the police or the flag stands for the troops or the flag stands for the veterans. And again, all this is garbage. The flag stands for the United States of America, which became a corporation and a corporate flag and brand in 1861 or 1871, whenever they incorporated in Washington, D.C. in the District of Columbia as a corporation. That's why I call it USA Inc. That's what that flag stands for to me. That is the corporate brand. Those are the corporate colors, red, white, and blue. So this nonsense that it represents the truth. So anyway, Mike Pence, in what many people are calling a premeditated stunt, and Donald Trump, who said he told Pence, if anybody take a knee, you need to walk out. Don't stand there. Don't dignify their protests or whatever. And so he did. This was totally, totally not genuine, not authentic, as they say, but it's just a continuation of the Trump administration to insert itself into matters that are between a private company, the NFL, and the individual teams and their employees. And he's actually violating the law, federal code that says members of the executive branch are prohibited by law from trying to influence the hiring and firing decisions of a private company. Okay, so the NFL is a private company, and the NFL teams are the franchises are individual companies themselves, and these are their employees. Now, it is correct to state that football players do not have freedom to protest while they own the job. Now, it's debatable whether or not if they own the job, if the game hasn't started, but it is a pregame or whatnot. And so, you know, that this First Amendment doesn't cover that. It really doesn't. It covers public institutions like high schools who kick football players off the team. And I'm not talking about private high schools. I'm talking about public high schools. Any kind of institution that's getting public funds cannot force anyone to stand for or sing the national anthem, stand for it, or participate in that nationalistic ritual. You can't do it, because then you are government and you can't do it. Then you're violating people's constitutional rights. So it's very important that we understand that. But it's also more important to understand that the protest isn't about freedom of speech. It isn't about Donald Trump. It is about these slave catchers getting away with extrajudicial murders. That's what the protests are about. So again, Trump and Pence have been taking to Twitter to mischaracterize the protests as disrespecting the military and the country. Look, I served 6 years in the United States military. 6 months of that was in an active war zone. Could have been killed. Could have got blown up by some Scuds. And Mike Pence ain't served day one in nobody's military. And Donald Trump ain't served day one in nobody's military. These are chicken hawks, okay? These are, I wouldn't say that about Trump, but Mike Pence seems to be a right-wing religious fanatic, all right? So none of these people, they don't get to speak for me as a veteran. And veterans have made it known we ain't got a problem with the protests. Not that you have to ask our permission or ask us what we think, but we just, since y'all want to put out all of this propaganda, like you protecting me, you know, how many vets have been shot and killed by police? Again, in my work as an abolitionist, produced an article maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, showing that veterans make up a sizable portion, over 50% of people in prison, primarily over nonviolent, victimless, so-called drug crimes, are U.S. veterans. Almost 1 million of them 2 years ago when I wrote that report. And, you know, so don't fall for this propaganda. So this is a solicitation by the Color of Change to chip in $3, I guess, to promote some propaganda to combat this propaganda of the Trump administration. So, it's a pretty well-sourced email. I got the email because I signed up for Color of Change to get on their email list some years ago. I actually get invitations sometimes to their town halls and what have you. All right, so that's some of the news right there. Couple of the news stories. We're going to take a station identification break. Let me check the board, see if anybody has any comments. Okay, everything is running slow for me today. I mean, really slow. Something is up. To our family members, Strategic Melanin in there, try restarting your devices. It's possible that the ISP provider is throttling your services, meaning that they didn't put you on the slow internet or something. So it's all kind of things to consider what could be going on. I hope you get that worked out. Sometimes clearing your browser cache will help as well when you're streaming media from the internet. So we hope that you get that resolved. You're able to hear the program without any further problems. All right, so we're going to take a station identification break. Kick some music, and we'll come back. I'll share a couple of more news stories. I want to see if we got any recent political prisoner news, because it's definitely important that we recognize and remember and advocate for our political prisoners, because, you know, with this BIE report, let's remember, this is very similar to COINTELPRO that was launched by the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, who had the stated mission of destroying or eliminating by any means necessary, including assassinations, media demonization, you know, just all trying to undermine them with propaganda. Very similar. And we know during that time period of COINTELPRO, that produced a whole lot of political prisoners, former Black Panther Party members, members of the Republic of New Africa, MOVE organization founded by John Africa, and many others are political prisoners to this day. To this day, they are political prisoners. And so we're seeing just but it's being revealed that they are reviving those COINTELPRO tactics or ramping them up, because I've always asserted COINTELPRO ain't never went away. They may not have a program called COINTELPRO anymore, but we can call it the Patriot Act. We could call it the FBI Counterterrorism Division, what have you. They got a history of this. All right. So we definitely want to remember our political prisoners, because political prisoners are being made every day in this current period of struggle. And I have no doubt they would love to make a political prisoner of me. All right. So we'll be back on the other side. Again, this is Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed, broadcasting Monday through Friday at 12 o'clock noon up until 2 p.m. Eastern. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Nowadays you gotta be cautious to breathe if you stand up. Shots fired if you black with your hands up. In a hoodie walking home, you a damn thug. Cops training to kill them, forget about the handcuffs. Don't do a crime on the corner selling cigarillos or a store, cause an itchy trigger figure will blow. Prejudice people all around us. Look at cops, so much pain, but stains the innocence. Now look and watch how much the media gravitates to sadness, hate. Distraction takes over you, just let the madness break. And look a little deeper, the truth is there to teach us. The freedom from bondage belongs. He can finally reach us. We gotta protect and take hold of what we're needing. First to liberate oppressed people of this region. It's gonna take time, patience, and determination. But if we rival, will we survive through what takes a nation? A ballot, a bullet, together we'll have retribution. War, your home, come along with your revolution. Never fear, be brave, in a moment we'll do it. And rest in power, my brothers, because we are revolution.
Freeze! Don't move, black man.
I'm Puerto Rican.
Well, you fit the description with that tan. Plus, you look suspicious, so this is your last chance.
Please, officer, my baby said save me the last dance.
Last chance!
Don't you see my hands up high? Ask anybody, I'm a stand-up guy. I'm calm and collected, just look me dead in my eye. Check my wallet, no Chris Wallace, I ain't ready to die.
What if my car couldn't stop well? And I hit a minivan full of cops, would I get shot like Sean Bell? What if I needed help like Jonathan Ferrell? Would they clap me and handcuff me after my body fell? Would they give me one chance to show identification? Face down and unarmed in Fruitvale Station? So what chance was Oscar Grant or Sean off? None. What if they had toy guns like John Crook?
Can I live? Can I walk in the street with my kid? Can I be on the block even chilling my spot without catching something hot in the rib? Can it be too much to ask to be passively asked to see ID off rib? Can I get that courtesy before you try to murder me? USAPD, can I live?
When freedom was bought and sold, the Underground Railroad created a need for the slave patrol. The Fugitive Slave Act was how they stole 12 years of slaves, stacking fortune off the slave back. Time for payback. Getting free men separated and way past unequal. Today is the sequel, the prison industrial complex, where high-tech lynching's in effect, where cops are the lynch mobs who don't get punished. So much evidence of this, lack of proof to convict. For no indictment, not a trial, rarely suffer consequence. And you wonder why we riot, cause our cries don't get the gist. And we blocking up the highway and you mad about this, but you're simply not seeing the point. Don't get the drift that the system system isn't broken, it is designed for this, and it's past overdue to create a rift. Do we do it by any means necessary? Yes.
You guys coming out of that?
What's up, Bob?
Huh? Get against the wall. Turn around, get against the wall. Don't worry about what's going on. What are you filming for? What are you filming for? Back up.
Mr. Officer of Law, please stop, cause my eyes, I saw you. From what I just saw, you was breaking legs and some jaws. And you're trying to start a war, cause your actions setting it off. Don't even take us to the mall, you're leaving bodies on the floor. This is raw. I said I can't breathe, and you're making me cough. See, this is a bloodbath scene, leaving stains on the wall. Even in dying need, I ain't making a call. You took another man's seat, I don't pay you at all. And this is nothing to laugh, my people stuck on the craft. To you, this is target practice, and we just in a blast. I look suspicious, but you're running too fast. When I try to preach my rights, you say I'm stuck in the past. My body lunging the back, and I get touched for a sack. You don't think it's whack that you don't need a warrant for that? I think it's funny how our government acts, and all I'm spitting is facts. The counterattack is a gun in the bag.
This my genesis, bringing my sonic to the system. It's an old game they play called You're the Villain. A psychology automatically gives them the hero feeling. This injustice leads to super wrong, man. I'm revealing. How you gonna kill a man and get paid leave? Reduce his life to a checklist, killer ambition to me. Got the badge, gun, taser law. You ready for war? Unarmed, dead, no weapon. Found those George Bush doors. What have you occupying the wrong area? Scarier. They find the officer innocent, though it's caught on camera. Now the officer's a bad, which is true. Let me vent. If you see wrong, don't say shit. Silence is consent. I had guns drawn on me and it wasn't even art. Never broke the law before, how we end up at this bar. This isn't about bragging on my skills, that's my choice. Words are heavy, gotta be strong to lift every voice.
A conversation with a friend sends me to descend to a stressful place again for action I can't defend. By the police, he told me they harassed his ass. Walking home late at night cause he is of working class. He didn't deserve that, but he didn't act up. One cop turned to four when officer calls for backup. Handcuffed, started searching his person with no regard. Then they slammed his face hard in the hood of the squad car. They were asking, where you going? Who you knowing? What you smoking? You ain't coming from work. You out hustling, you must be joking. Black man with a hoodie spirit never broken. I was captivated by his story as he spoke it. When he finished, I began pacing. My thoughts racing, my fist balled. Tears fell with no hesitation. My boy could have been dead if I walk home late one night. And my next, who protects us from them?
So many Rodney King ass beatings later, and I scream more than the why can't we get alongs. Why don't you see me? In my clothes, all you see is threat. Bare naked brown skin, and all you see is threat. Why don't you see me? Pen to paper, teeth ripping scream, I matter! My life matters! I am art made carnate. I am music made flesh. I am soul, intelligence, passion, anger, mistake, flaw, correction, revision. I am heart, love, strength, weakness. I am music. I am music, and you don't hear me. I am art. I am art, and you don't see me. You see only target practice and kill shots. Kill shots saying, I'm unarmed. Kill shots saying, I can't breathe. Kill shots becoming the last scream of, I am human too! The dark brown human, light brown, wrong shade of brown, brown in baggy clothes, brown in hoodie, brown in fitted cap, brown skin moving, brown skin breathing, brown skin threatening, brown skin bullet pierced, police batoned, bleeding, brown skin dying. Now you see me.
The state of hip-hop is awful. Straight terrible. It promotes death and destruction now. The original principles of hip-hop culture is peace, unity, love, and having fun. The principles of what we call slave ship hop is violence, chaos, hate, and danger. Slave ship hop must be abolished, and we must save African people from this nonsense and bring hip-hop back to where it used to be.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News on this Wednesday afternoon. Coming up at 2 o'clock p.m., got to make sure I'm off air on time, will be Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. Then at 6 o'clock p.m. will be Tando Radio Show. It's Wise Wednesday on Tando Radio Show at 6. Then at 8 o'clock p.m. will be New Abolitionist Radio, an award-winning broadcast focusing on 21st century slavery and human trafficking as legalized in the United States Constitution. That's New Abolitionist Radio at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And rounding out our Wednesday night will be Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So we always on Wednesdays have a full lineup of live programming for you. Hope that you will share the station and the platform, which also has other stations. Hope that you will share this independently produced black media with those in your family and in your circles. All right, so I did mention that I wanted to check my emails for information from some of my contacts on U.S. political prisoners, because they do not get enough attention. The United States even denies that it holds any political prisoners. Why try to point fingers at other countries and talk about political prisoners? But there is an international campaign for human rights of U.S. political prisoners. This comes to you by way of the NYC Jericho. You can visit, you can get more information at Jericho NY.org. That's Jericho NY.org. Let me go into this news release. It says, we will be petitioning the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, urging the international jurists to initiate a formal investigation into human rights abuses of U.S. political prisoners. So again, we're talking about people who you will hear on this station when I play, you know, my message music clicks. We just heard from Angela Davis. Their talk, I titled that clip, "Do I Approve of Violence?" Why are you asking me? Well, you know, when obviously the United States approves of violence and what have you. They tried to make a political prisoner out of her, but she was able to escape those charges. Okay. H-Rap Brown. H-Rap Brown, who did convert to Islam while in prison, who is now known as Imam Jamil Al-Amin. We've had campaigns or participated in campaigns to get him medical attention where he had an abscess tooth and they denied him any kind of medical attention. Can you imagine being in a Supermax cell with a toothache for months, almost a year? And it being abscess and man, that man had to be in terrible pain. He could have died from that. And so there are a number of political prisoners, primarily from the black community, also the Puerto Rican community. One of their political prisoners recently got released, a Puerto Rican independence fighter, Oscar Rivera Lopez, American Indian community, Leonard Peltier. All right, the American Indian movement, I should say. So there's plenty of political prisoners, but the United States act like they don't exist, as well as the United States or American-produced media act like they don't exist, as well as the Hispanic political caucus in Congress, the black political caucus in Congress, the freedom caucus in Congress. None of these people are acknowledging that these political prisoners exist. It goes on to say, in 1977, I initiated a national prisoners petition campaign to the United Nations. The campaign petitioned the United Nations to recognize the existence of U.S. political prisoners. The petition was documented as E/CN-4/sub-2/NGO/75, pertaining to racism and the conditions of political prisoners in the U.S. penal system. In 1979, the international jurists investigated the existence of U.S. political prisoners and reported their findings to the United Nations. Some of those same political prisoners interviewed in 1979 still languish in prison today. They continue to suffer racial oppression from being murdered by white supremacists, Hugo Pinnell, may he rest in power, brutal assaults by prison guards, Herman Bell, former Black Panther Party member, indefinitely held in solitary confinement for political speech, Kevin Rashid Johnson, Jan Layman. Kevin Rashid Johnson, I think may be affiliated with the Black Panther Formation. Yon Layman was affiliated with the Jonathan. What was it? I'm trying to think of that formation. It was mostly white people. Yon Layman is a white person. And they were accused of, I forget the name of their formation. Y'all forgive me for that. But they participated, accused of participating in bombings of U.S. Property, corporate property, in support of ending apartheid in South Africa. The George and Jonathan Jackson Freedom Fighters, but they changed their name to something else. I just can't remember the name of it. I actually interviewed one of the former political prisoners, Ray Lavashore. It's been a couple of years since I spoke with him. So, yeah, it's a bunch of them. Let me continue to name them. Robert Self Hayes, Black Panther Party. Tom Manning also was in that movement with Yon Layman. Tom Manning's white. Persistent parole denials after becoming eligible for release, like Veronica Bowers, Dr. Mutulu Shakur, Sundiata Okoli, and Jaleel A. Montekim. The list is extensive, as is written here by political prisoner Jaleel Abdul Montekim, who is held in the Sullivan Correction Facility. I believe that's in New York, but don't quote me on that. Let me go ahead and continue to read this. Okay. It says that on August the 18th, 2017, the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, or CERT, and they focus a lot on this, on Race Treaty, which is a program that normally airs on Friday nights on Black Talk Radio Network, but they haven't been too consistent with producing anything because of the producers being very involved in the human rights movement and been, you know, they travel internationally. So, you know, that's why they're not always on air. So I just want to acknowledge that. It's not because they're lazy. It's because they doing work on the ground and they're not always able to produce a podcast or a broadcast. All right. So it went on to say in acting under its early warning and urgent action procedure, issued a statement calling for the United States of America to critically denounce the horrific events of Charlottesville of 11-12 August 2017, leading to the death of Heather Heyer. The failure of the U.S. government to condemn the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi, and white supremacists represents the unspoken philosophy of the U.S. government since the inception of the transatlantic slave trade. By virtue of the historic dynamics of this country's racial conflicts, there have been centuries of dissent, protests, revolts, and insurrections. Such protests against racial oppression have resulted in the existence of political prisoners. In the spirit of Nelson Mandela, we are calling for a new investigation by the international jurists on the human rights abuses of U.S. political prisoners. It is incumbent on freedom-loving peoples of the world to join in this campaign to expose this incessant racial repression by U.S. white supremacists practices on U.S. political prisoners. I am requesting the body of the United Nations in its authority and capacity in support of human rights to vigilantly support this campaign. The Jericho Amnesty Movement, the premier U.S. political prisoner support organization, and the Northeast Political Prisoner Coalition will provide documents, statements, and materials to the investigative body cataloging the human rights abuses of U.S. political prisoners. The chairperson of CERT, Anastasia Crickley, criticizing the U.S. government's indulgence toward white supremacists on August the 23rd. This is the same August 23rd, 2017, same month that the Trump administration come out with this black identity extremism report. Okay. But this is what she said. The chairperson of CERT, this again is a United Nations committee. There should be no place in this world for racist white supremacist ideals or any similar ideologies that reject the core human rights principles of human dignity and equality. We are alarmed by the racist demonstrations with overtly racist slogans, chants, and salutes by white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and the Ku Klux Klan promoting white supremacy and inciting racial discrimination and hatred. We call on the U.S. government to investigate thoroughly the phenomenon of racial discrimination targeting, in particular, people of African descent, ethnic or ethno-religious minorities, and migrants. Hence, by virtue of Sir's position condemning the U.S. government's failure to denounce white supremacists in Charlottesville, we are calling for the international jurists to conduct the same investigation urged by Sir on the human rights abuses of U.S. political prisoners. Respectfully submitted, Jaleel Abdul Montekin, Sullivan Correctional Facility, September 30th, 2017. So, again, if you want more information on this human rights campaign, you can contact the Jericho Movement at thejerichomovement.com. Shout out to the Jericho Movement who showed up for the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March and Rally in Washington, D.C. on August the 19th, which we were proud to be a part of as an organization and as a black radio platform. They were there in support, recognizing the fact that slavery was never abolished. You can also go to www.jerichony. That's the New York chapter of the Jericho Movement. That's, again, www.jerichony.org. Or you can contact them by email, nycjericho@gmail.com. And so, yeah, definitely want to do more. Because we used to have the program, Sunday night program, Political Prisoner Radio, which was on for a couple of years. And our host went through some personal tragedies, lost her mother, was losing her home and what have you. And she had to take time off. And we just never been able to find a replacement host for that. And I already host too many programs on this network. And I know people get tired of hearing from me at times on all these different programs. And so I will try to incorporate more political prisoner news in BTR news. All right. So let me check the board. We don't have any calls, nothing to report from the chat room. And so we will take another station identification report. Break, kick some more music. And then after that, we will jump back into this BIE BS report. And we are on what? Page six. We'll start on page six. Again, this is a 12-page report, including the cover and disclaimers and all of that. So we will, again, continue to take our time and work our way through this report. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. The Black Talk Radio Network is the world's number one source for independently produced black media. Whether we're talking about radio streams or podcasts, you will not find a larger source of black produced media than blacktalkradionetwork.com, which was set up in 2008 as a safe digital space for black talkers, for black radio hosts, for black podcasters, being that we were not welcome and were terrorized on non-black controlled platforms. And we didn't like being terrorized. We didn't like being called niggers. We didn't like people accusing us of being racist with that reverse racism crap. And so we built our own. All right. So that is supported, again, and established by the Black Talk Media Project. So make a donation today. Any amount will help. $1, $2, whatever you can afford to give. We know that the black wealth has been the victim of racist economic policies, and we've been losing our wealth collectively due to racist policies and what have you. And so we understand if we don't get millions of dollars like some of these other organizations have million-dollar budgets to conduct their operations and whatnot. But, you know, for those who have given, you are much appreciated. We couldn't do it without you. All right, so we'll be back on the other side again getting into this BIE which is really a lie report issued by the Counterterrorism Department of the FBI, which is nothing more but a further expression of COINTELPRO tactics in support of institutional racism and white supremacy.
Media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I do believe we have a caller before we jump into this report that wants to share their views and news on the station. Area code 347, you are on Black Talk Radio News. Give us your name and go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, Scotty. What's going on? It's Thomas, New York.
Hey, good afternoon to you, Thomas.
How you doing, bro?
Best I can.
I just wanted to make a couple comments off of some of the things you said, if I can.
Sure.
First, I want to say the U.S. flag is a trade banner.
Right.
That's all it really is.
Right.
Like you said, this is a corporation. The NFL teams, you know, if you really think about it, they are public companies because they're some of the largest recipients of tax.
Oh, man, that is a great point. Great point, Thomas.
AKA tax dollars.
Right.
Let's just take the Cowboys, Scotty, $1.2 billion
right.
for their stadium.
Right.
$700 million-plus came from tax money from Dallas residents.
That's
and
right.
3 years later, they built a $1.5 billion practice facility
mm-hmm.
almost all paid for by Arlington, Texas residents because it doubles as a high school stadium for all the high school teams in the city. So that's how they got to them to build that $1.5 billion practice facility for their football team. Absolutely, bro.
Thomas, hold up before you go to your next point, please. That is such an excellent point. And thank you for pointing that out to me because you're absolutely right. Because while these are private entities, basically the taxpayers have been subsidizing billionaires. Same thing with Charlotte, with the Bank of America mm-hmm. Stadium, which Bank of America invests heavily in 21st century slavery and human trafficking, has been known for racist practices, but they didn't pay for the stadium. Charlotte taxpayers, Mecklenburg County, North Carolina taxpayers paid. That stadium was also built on public land, and they recently did multi-million dollar upgrades to the stadium, funded again by who? U.S. taxpayers. So you absolutely on point with that.
Yes, sir. And on Bank of America, if I'm not mistaken, it started as the Bank of the Confederacy, started by Jefferson Davis. So I'm almost sure that's the same bank today if you follow all the transactions. Last night, BET had an award show, and they gave an award to, and then I'm only saying this because you was playing some of that conscious hip-hop and stuff. But they gave an award to Uncle Luke, a.k.a. Luke Skywalker from Two Live Crew. And he spoke very passionately. And he talked about the racism he experienced and his fight for freedom of speech, First Amendment, because he was banned from a lot of places and arrested at mostly every venue that he performed in. But he said he invented the Parental Advisory Label to put on his albums to keep the law enforcement off of him. And now I believe that's on mostly every album where they curse or have a sexual explicit lyrics. So that ties right into what I'm about to say here. You spoke about Blitter, the black Twitter. I would tell people be very careful because Twitter and Facebook just went over to the U.S. Department of Defense and handed over all the emails from black Twitter and black Facebook pages because they're trying to, once again, tie this all into McCarthyism, saying that Russia was putting a lot of this stuff out there, the black people to vote against Hillary Clinton and things of that nature. This all ties into that BIE. So the other day, I'm looking at the BIE, Scotty, and I said, let me go on YouTube and see who's talking about this. And I came across a channel I never saw before called Black Authority. And he did such a good job breaking it down, I decided to subscribe to his channel. So, the next day he put on another video So I listened to it. In his video, he's talking about what YouTube did to the video he put out talking about the BIE. So then I went back to that video, and now when you click on it, a red box pops up, and it says viewer discretion advised. Mm-hmm. The following content has been identified by YouTube community as inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. First time I ever saw this in YouTube before. Like, this is, like, unbelievable to me. I mean, I'm like, you know what this is. So I say this all the time, Scotty, on the different shows that I come on your channel, and I try to give information on. This is the artificial intelligence that's watching these videos and giving it these tags. It's not people doing this, okay? And
I wouldn't dismiss the human element, though, because...
Well, it's not... I could pull up the videos. I mean, I'll pull up articles where Google, who owns Facebook, who owns YouTube, is telling you that they have the artificial intelligence. Google's
I'm not denying
Facebook's
that.
Facebook's artificial intelligence can tell you to tag people as a racist if they want to. I mean, it has that ability. I'm sorry, yes. Scotty, you was going to say something?
No, I was saying I wasn't dismissing the artificial intelligence because I reported that same article as well. They will, based off of keywords that you may use in the video title or the description, maybe that flags it, and then it may be some human review or maybe not, okay? But what I was saying is also don't put it past the human element as well because of their races. The same racists that was complaining to Blog Talk Radio, the flag Black Talk Radio when we was on that platform, are on YouTube, are on Facebook and on Twitter and flagging stuff just to call, to get people kicked off. I recently suffered a 3-day ban on some old stuff I had posted talking about gender identity accountability with Kim Melisande. Milan-san and her son, Dwayne Higgerson. And so somebody, because I used the word tranny, which is on a bunch of, not that I watch porn, but it is a porn category, tranny. This tranny is a term that it just simply means transvestite. In short, it came about in the 19s. So they banned me for 3 days for using the word tranny, not taking into context the context of which I used the word tranny. I wasn't using it as a derogatory term, and I'm not in the LGBT community, so I don't know what they find offensive and what they don't find offensive, okay? So that's all I'm saying, Thomas. I'm saying it's a combination of AI and racist.
Absolutely, Sky. I get what you're saying, bro. But when I saw that, and I'm thinking, you know, I know that they are using, you know, the AI, like you said. And I'll even say this, man, even if I go to Gus's Facebook page, and I mentioned this to him before, they put up this other screen first where I have to enter these characters and do it. It's almost like I got to go through a puzzle to be able to get into to view the content to see if he has a show coming on or not. So, you know, like they're tagging certain people and making it very difficult to get their stuff. And I spoke to someone earlier, and that same video I was just talking about that they put that tag up on, it's not allowing you to share that with anyone else either, he's saying. So they even can make it so you can't share a video that they consider to be offensive. But this goes right into your human trafficking and things. And this was an article, and this talks exactly about this, but in a different context. It's machine bias. It's from ProPublica, and this is all the way back, May 23rd, 2016. And it says, Brista Borden was running late to pick up her god sister from school when she spotted an unlocked kid's blue Huffy bicycle and a silver Razor scooter. Borden and a friend grabbed the bike and scooter and tried to ride them down the street of Fort Lauderdale suburb, Coral Springs. Just as the 18-year-old girls realized that they were too big for the tiny conveyances, which belongs to a 6-year-old boy, a woman came running out saying, "That's my kid's stuff." Borden and her friend immediately dropped the bike and scooter and walked away. But it was too late. A neighbor witnessed the heist and called the police. Borden and her friend was arrested for burglary and petty thief for the items that valued at $80. Compare this crime to one similar. The previous summer, 41-year-old Vernon Prater was picked up for shoplifting $86 worth of tools at a nearby Home Depot store. Prater was sentenced. Prater was a more seasoned criminal, already convicted of armed robbery, attempted armed robbery, and has served 5 years in prison in addition to an armed robbery charge. He had a record. The black girl, Borden, also had a record before misdemeanor, which she committed as a juvenile. Yet something happened when Borden and Prater were booked into jail. A computer program, that's the AI, spat out a score predicting the likelihood of each committing a crime. Borden, who was black, was rated at a higher risk than Prater, the convicted.
Uh-oh.
The AI determined.
Hey, Thomas, give me just a second. Radio listeners, I'm experiencing some issues with the conference line. It's like it wants to lock up, and so that's why it's going in and out. I may need to shut down this browser that's real busy and causing us to lose Thomas. Give me just a second. It should clear up here in just a moment. Hopefully. Oh, wow, it disconnected me. So let me connect back. Apologies. Sometimes this kind of stuff happens with technology.
Joining conference now. This conference is being recorded by the organizer.
Yeah, because we got cut off. We actually got disconnected from the board. My browser got busy having them same problems that Strategic Melanin was talking about. So we got knocked off the board. So, yes, and I will also add to that story you just shared was Chicago, where they had spent millions of dollars on this computer program that would be able to predict based off of arrest records, the area the person was arrested in, known so-called gang turf and whatnot, and try to predict those things. Wow, I'm getting cut off again. Give me just a second.
Joining conference now. This conference is being recorded by the organizer.
Okay, yes, I know that y'all were able to hear Thomas and everything he said in the conference line, but the rest of the radio audience was not, because we got kicked out. I just got kicked out again. It's probably some website I got open that is causing that to occur. All right, so hopefully it won't occur again, but I'll keep a watch on that. All right, so, but let's go ahead and jump into this video. But this BIE report, which is nothing but more COINTELPRO tactics, what we saw in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s to destroy and prevent a so-called black messiah from arising who would unite all black people against racism and white supremacy and other oppression. And so this was the stated reason for COINTELPRO, a program run by the FBI. So I'm on the last section of page five, where it's talking about the Moorish sovereign citizens. Again, they have identified them as black identity extremists, even though Moors will tell you they are not black. They don't use that as a label. They'll tell you all the reasons why. But as I've had conversations with them, don't sweat me because of a word. All right. Because it don't matter to those who's targeting us. What matters is what they call us. And we know what they call us. So you can call yourself anything. That's not going to save you from being targeted. All right. Because they're looking at your skin color. Moorish sovereign citizens are a loose network of mostly African Americans who believe they are sovereign entities who do not recognize the authority of the U.S. government. Moorish sovereign citizen ideology derives from the Moorish Science Temple of America, a nonviolent religious and cultural movement founded in 1913 by Noble Drew Ali. Also known as Timothy, what was his name? He's from here in North Carolina. We're not sure of his parentage. Some say he was His mother was Cherokee and his father was African, and identified himself as a Moor. Then there's others that say that he was the descendant of two enslaved Africans and whatnot. But he was born here in North Carolina before he left North Carolina. I think he went to Chicago, and that's where I believe he founded the Moor Science Temple of America. Got a U.S. issue federal tax exempt status and everything. All right, so it said that Noble Drew Ali taught his followers that they were not Negroes, but Moors. All right, so people of North African, Berber, and Arab descent. So, see, that's why in my conversations with Moors, I'm like, y'all say black. Timothy Drew Ali said Negro. Okay, they used to call us Negroes. We decided to call ourselves black and cool. But, I mean, what does it matter? What does it matter? Okay, because when you go into court, they ain't asking when I've been in court. You know, they didn't ask me when I filed. What did I file? When I was suing for custody for my children, I didn't put Scotty Reed, black man, or black African American, or any other. It's just my name. Okay, it's just my name. I don't put black on those things. So anyway, it says that he taught them that they are people of North African, Berber, and Arab descent. That would be your Muammar Gaddafi, who was recently taken out by the Obama administration in 2011 in a operation that was oversaw by Hillary Clinton. The Moors also participated in slavery. I know we don't like to talk about these things, but I do a lot of reading, a lot of studying. And so this is what they believe. This is what Noble Drew Ali believed. All right. So it says that some Moors adherents adopt sovereign citizen strategies to assert diplomatic immunity by claiming membership in fictitious Native American tribes, claiming descent from settlers who arrived in North America during the pre-Columbian era, or identifying as foreign nationals or ambassadors. And they actually did sourced another FBI report in 2014 entitled Black Separatist Extremists, an Introduction for Law Enforcement. Okay, so again, all the Moors that I talked to, and like I was telling my friend from high school, I had a best friend from high school. His name, I'm not going to say his name. He's been in prison in North Carolina. Oh, man, when did he go into prison? I had joined the military since 1987. Okay, same year I joined the military is when he got put in prison. So I've been talking to him lately. He's been calling, and I told him about my conversations with Moors and how they attacked me for being black, because he's supposed to be some kind of leader in the Moorish factions that's in North Carolina prisons and what have you. And yes, they did support the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March, pointing out that slavery and human trafficking was never abolished and what have you. And I remember telling him, though, I don't know if you want me to write you, man. I talked to you on the phone, but I know that I'm on certain government entities' radar, considering the type of work that I do, the type of people that I communicate with, advocating on behalf of political prisoners. I don't want to cause you any trouble, all right, by me writing you letters and stuff, and then, you know, you being punished in prison and what have you. So he told me don't worry about that. And so I had been writing him. And, you know, he doesn't talk about, well, obviously we can't have a open discussion on a prison telephone line and whatnot. But he was just simply telling me that some of these Moors are incorrect and they're misrepresenting what Noble Drew Ali taught, and that they shouldn't be going after people because of how they identify themselves as black, African American, Caribbean American, whatever. We know that those are our people. And as long as they engaged in something constructive to uplift our people, we shouldn't be petty and be arguing over what we call ourselves. So, you know, the Moors have a long history. And as Tag pointed out when he called in yesterday, is, you know, here it is. They're admitting that this is a nonviolent religious and cultural movement. Just because a couple of individuals may or may not have been associated with these movements, and anybody can call themselves something and not even be a due paying card carrying member of these other Moore Science Temple. They just adopt that and call themselves that. But it's a non-violent religious cultural movement that has been around since 1913. And as Tag pointed out, don't they got freedom of religion? You talk about freedom of religion, they got freedom of religion, do they not? So because they believe the things that they believe, I have yet to hear any of these Moors that I talk to that are talking about some kind of armed insurrection or targeting slave catchers and killing them. I just simply have not been a part of those conversations, so I don't know what they're talking about. And I'm talking about the FBI. All right, so let me move on. Let me see. Now I'm on page six. I'm looking at the perspective. Let me check the phone lines again. Let me see. Thomas, you're still unmuted. Did you have a question or comment? We had some problems when you were on. Did you have something else to add?
Oh, no, bro. I was just listening to you. I just think that the most of the Moors I speak to, they use the word Moor because the United States has a treaty with Morocco.
Right.
And based off of them using that, if they can get the court to put them into that status,
right,
therefore they're upholding, you know, so they use it as more of
legal strategy,
a legal way. It's not so much as far as them, when they're saying don't call yourself black, they're talking about the status that gives you inside of the courtroom. I don't think they mean it as far. They know they're black. I think that some of them go a little far with it.
Right.
But the thing that really struck me about what you're reading, and I believe they also mentioned specifically the Ouachita in that report as well, but that's also Moore's, is if they didn't believe in none of this stuff, then why are they attacking these people? You know, is some of this stuff they're saying true?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see them telling specifically, don't listen to these niggas. That's pretty much what they're telling other black people,
mm-hmm,
as well. You know, these are the bad black people. But this information that they were giving out so false is not a threat to the United States.
No, it's not.
Why would you be going after these people?
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I mute my mind.
Yeah, you got respected lawyer, law professor Vernelia Randall, who's been on the network several times as a guest speaker and whatnot, does a lot of work with the human rights organizations that's out there. And they're attempting to establish another legal definition for descendants of enslaved Africans. It's called DAEAS. It's D-A-E. AS, I believe. But again, I became exposed to that from listening to Race Treaty, which focused a lot on human rights and international law. So I understand the strategy, and that's why I said when I go to court, anytime I go to court, unless I'm suing somebody for racism and whatnot, they don't ask you what your race is. They're on that. You know, when you go to Gaston County Courthouse and you see my motion where I'm suing for custody of my children, race isn't discussed in that. The plaintiff isn't Scotty Reed, black or African American. It's just simply Scotty Reed versus my ex-wife. All right. So, but I understand what they're saying because, you know, Vernelia Randall is seeking that legal status for black people, saying that we don't have any kind of legal status that's recognized by the people in charge. And that's very key right there. The people in charge running the planet don't recognize you, then good luck with trying to advance those legal arguments or legal privileges.
They do have a legal status for us, the civil terra mortis, which means you're civilly dead. That's when you go to court. And if they label you as black, you know, the judge labels you, if he looks at you, or you're black, you know, you're civilly dead. I mean, they don't have to adhere to our rights as per the Dred Scott case.
But again, so, I don't go to court and I don't nobody going to court using black as a legal definition. I can't, you know, and I've been reporting on criminal justice cases for a very long time. I've been arrested a number of times. They just ain't never been able to convict me on nothing because I was innocent. But I know about the courts. I've listened to attorneys talk about this issue with the Morse, and you don't have no legal standing. I mean, that has no legal standing. You don't go to court and say, I'm filing as a black person. No, you're filing as a quote unquote U.S. citizen, which gives you access to those courts. She said this black attorney, I can't remember her name. She's a young person. She might be in her 30s or something like that. I can't remember her name. She has a Facebook page, and she did a long video saying she was in court, and she hear the Moors come in. They present these articles of sovereignty and whatnot, and the court laugh at them. And then get to doing what they was going to do anyway. So to me, that shows that they are not recognizing your documents. All right. So that's what I'm saying. To me, it is a waste of time for us to even have those arguments, because we see what's happening in the court. They're looking at your skin color, not what you call yourself, not what, you know, podcast you subscribe to, what kind of music you listening to, you know. They use your name. They use your name. I sentence you, Scotty Reed, to 100 years in prison or whatever. They don't say I sentence this black man. So I'm just saying that, you know, it's just not constructive, in my opinion, to debate that. All right. So BIEs, it goes on with the perspective. BIEs have historically justified and perpetrated violence against law enforcement, which they perceive. Here we go again with that perception, as if these things aren't happening, as representative of the institutionalized oppression of African Americans, but had not targeted law enforcement with premeditated violence for nearly two decades leading up to the lethal incidents observed beginning in 2014. BIE violence peaked in the 1960s and 70s in response to changing socioeconomic attitudes and treatment of blacks during the civil rights movement. BIE groups such as the Black Liberation Army, we got a number of those who are political prisoners or living in exile, like Assata Shakur, which was created in the early 1970s to take up arms for liberation and self-determination of black people in the United States, engaged in murders, bank robberies, kidnappings, racketeering, possession of explosives, and weapons smuggling. So it goes on to list what they call as crimes by the BLA. I don't think it's necessary to go into that, but I will say this. The Black Liberation Army was formed because of COINTELPRO destruction of the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party was more than just about using guns for self-defense, something that they say is enshrined in the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Okay, so they were more than just about that. Some of them ran for political office. I'm thinking about one of the co-founders, Bobby Seale, running for mayor in a city in California. He lost, but he still ran. All right, they also set up free medical clinics. If not for the resources they were able to obtain, we would not have sickle cell anemia testing that we have today, to identify, which primarily affects black and brown people, black people more than anyone else. Sickle cell anemia, they did that. They had food pantries, you know, like around here in North Carolina, they call them food banks or whatnot, where poor people can go and get some free food and what have you. All right. Black Panthers operated that. They had political education classes. They had school breakfast programs for children. They had after school programs. They had like over 30 different what they call survival programs that was meeting the needs of the people, including medical clinics and whatnot, if I didn't mention that already. So the FBI, along with local police departments, most I think clearly demonstrated in the assassination of Black Panther chairman Fred Hampton in Chicago. The FBI, with help from local police departments, went about carrying out J. Edgar Hoover's directive to destroy these black organizations, to assassinate their leaders. I mean, it has been proven in court that the U.S. government was behind the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. So all of this is going on, just lawlessness, okay, as they say, lawlessness, just open barbarity on the behalf of the U.S. government against a totally above the board, legitimate political social organization like the Black Panther Party, and you killing them, you assassinating key figures, you throwing them in prison, setting them up on charges, trying to set them up. And this is why the Black Liberation Army was formed. Okay? This is why the Jonathan Jackson, George Jackson Freedom Formation was formed. Man, I keep forgetting their name. And this was not just black people, but white people as well were involved in that and worked with the BLA. All right. So it's very important that we study history, that we know history, so that when they come at us with this, trying to talk about a historical black formation, that we have all the facts. All right. Black Liberation Army would not have been formed if not for the violent attacks on the Black Panther Party and its leadership. So it's very important to know that. And did they engage in bank robberies? Yes, they did, to fund their activities. Did they kill some cops? Yes, they did, I would say in self-defense. All right. All of this kidnapping, racketeering, possession of explosives and whatnot, I can't say. I cannot say. All right. But guess what? Who the biggest robber is on the planet? The United States. And I will also point out, under international law, and I learned this from some of these political prisoners, but under international law, I got to find that clip because I would play that clip, that oppressed people have a right to resist their oppression by any means necessary. This is under international law, whether those means be violent, whether they be nonviolent, that oppressed people under international law have a right to resist that oppression by any means necessary. I'm paraphrasing the information, but I'm sure that it is accurate and correct, because if one thing I learned from these political prisoners is they do their research. Okay. They do their research. They just don't put out stuff without having the background information. That's something I have really, really appreciated about these political prisoners, is they do their research. All right. Let me see. BIE violence has been rare over the past 20 years, and there is sparse evidence of any convergence with SCEs who adhere to Moorish beliefs, who have historically engaged in nonviolent fraudulent schemes, including production of fraudulent personal identification documents, such as international motorist certification, passports, vehicle titles, registrations, and birth certificates, in support of the claims of sovereignty. So again, you know, again, I don't want to get into that debate, but again, they don't recognize your documents. So you don't have no legal stand. It's not a legal tactic that has worked. If the court don't recognize you, don't recognize these documents, how can you then there say that I have legal standing? These are their courts. And then I also point out the irony of black people or any people saying that I'm sovereign, but you go to their courts for permission to do stuff or to sue. Aren't you recognizing their authority? How can you not recognize the authority of the United States government, but then at the same time go file some court papers recognizing the United States government's authority? So again, that's why I don't talk a lot about that type of stuff. That's stuff for us to talk about among ourselves in our own time. But this report is just basically telling you the stuff that I've been saying. Whenever I have these conversations, they don't recognize you as coming from no sovereign country. And then given the history of if you're talking about Morocco and you're talking about Moors out of Africa, which were Berber, some of them were Europeans as well, and Africans. They played a big role in the African slave trade. Yes, they did. And that's documented history. And I don't identify with anybody who engages in slavery. I just don't. I'm not saying that's what Moors believe today. People who classify themselves as Moors, certainly my best friend who considers me a brother who is a Moor, and been one for the past 20 years that he's been locked up in prison, you know. Yeah. He doesn't talk like that to me. He doesn't engage in those sort of things. But again, our conversations are monitored, and I hope he does get out in the next 2 years so that we can have that conversation. But at the end of the day, guess what? He who has the guns, he who can launch the most violent attacks, we're playing by their rules, dog. You ain't got no army to back up your legal documents or your legal standing and what have you. So what's the point, really? What's the point? You don't have no army. You don't have a gun. And that's the only thing that the United States has to back up its so-called laws is guns. All over the world, like Martin Luther King said, the greatest purveyor of violence all over the planet. And all of these different indigenous tribes that existed here before the arrival of the European, many of them been wiped out, genocided off the face of the planet, and it did not matter what they call themselves. As we know, it's fond of being attributed to indigenous people is the white man speaks with forked tongue. And you can't, he can sign documents, he can enter into treaties with you, and then break them the very next day. That has been their history. That has been their history. So I'm not looking to them to recognize me in that sort of way. All right. So I had to be careful because I do realize that they monitor Black Talk Radio and have been since 2008. And I had to watch my language. All right. So anyway, it goes on to say that the FBI has previously reported on BIE retaliatory violence against law enforcement in two products. This intelligence assessment addresses actual incidents of lethal retaliatory violence. The previous Black Identity Extremism intelligence products discuss calls for potential retaliatory violence, not actual violent incidents. Recently, lethal violent incidents may be indicative of a resurgence of targeted violence within the BIE movement. And again, as was pointed out on yesterday's program by Tag and by myself, is that ain't nobody killing these cops like white males. Nobody killing them like. And if you count since they've been counting since 2014, I think Tag says something like around 8 people have killed police who may or may not have been affiliated with various subgroups within the Black community. All right. So again, this is nothing but COINTELPRO tactics to demonize these different movements, to demonize the Moors, to demonize the Nation of Islam, to demonize whatever you calling yourself out there. All right, the sovereign citizens and all of that stuff. This is all this is justification to kill these people. But again, it gives a disclaimer that some of this is constitutionally protected speech. So when I say what they're talking about, discuss calls for potential retaliatory violence, they're talking about me telling you that under international law, oppressed people have a right to resist their oppression by any means necessary. That's what they're talking about. Read in between the lines. But they can't come after me because I haven't told any individual or put out a call over the airways for black people to pick up the guns and start gunning down slave catchers on sight. I don't engage in that type of language because I'm not a fool. I'm not a dummy. I don't put my own neck in a noose. All right. So I tried to use language in a way that they use language. Okay. So, but I mean, y'all can check the facts. Go ahead and check international law. I believe who I heard that from, it wasn't H-Rap Brown. It might have been Jaleel Montekin who put that out there. It was years ago that I heard that, and I looked it up at the time, and he's exactly right. All right, so, look, I'm running out of time, and so we're going to devote the last, let me see how much time I got, the last 8 minutes, last 10 minutes to our callers so that they'll have time to speak. Just be cognizant of the time because we do have another program coming up. I'm going to go to 646. Go ahead with your name, question, or comment. Area code 646.
Peace, Brother Scotty. Peace, everyone. Tag.
Greetings, Tag. What's on your mind?
A few things, and definitely will be cognizant of the time. I was in and out, so I did hear you making the political prisoners announcements or reports. I didn't hear if you mentioned about the ongoing Twitter storm for the aforementioned Jaleel Muntakim, which is going on today and every 2 weeks.
No, I did not mention it. I did read that report for the campaign, and I advise people to go to Jericho's websites and whatnot. But I hadn't been on Twitter in the past 24 hours, so I don't know. I didn't mention that, Tag, but thank you for mentioning that. Please get that information out again.
Definitely. So on Twitter, they're requesting that people send a message adding their voice to demand commutation of sentence for Anthony Bottom, and that's the born name of Jaleel Muntakim, and his DIN number is number 77A4283. And the term that they're using for that is clemency, the number for Jaleel. And they're also requesting that you call Governor Cuomo and email Governor Cuomo, as well as they have an Instagram option. And so, again, this is every 2 weeks on Wednesday. It's been ongoing. And, you know, that all can be found on freejaleel.com, Jaleel Muntakim's website.
All right. Thank you, Tag, for that information. All right. And that hashtag again. Say that hashtag again because I was distracted. Somebody was in the studio speaking to me, and I know Otis asked for that information. So what's the tag again, the hashtag?
It's clemency, the number four, Jaleel. Clemency for Jaleel. Jaleel is spelled J-A-L-I-L.
All right. Thank you, Tag, for sharing that information. And that's every 2 weeks. All right, people, y'all can just find that information. Go to Twitter, plug in that hashtag, and you'll see all the tweets related to that. And that'll give you an idea of how you might want to form your tweet. But again, we're asking for a commutation of sentence for Jaleel Muntakim, a Black Panther political prisoner. All right, I want to go to area code. Thank you again, Tag. We want to go to area code 719. Thank you for calling in the Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your name, question, and comment.
Hey, what's up, Scotty? It's Ramon.
Greetings, Ramon. Good to hear from you, bro. What's on your mind?
Oh, Scotty, a lot of what you're talking about. I did want to say this about the BIE stuff you're reporting on. I guess what I get out of that also is that that does cover associates, right, of anybody that associates with these so-called BIE targets. I mean, that would include any associates, no matter what their background, race, and ethnicity is, I would assume.
I would assume the same.
Okay, with that being said, I guess after last night, we should get on an email campaign or a Twitter campaign and ask Eminem, since he was on BET last night, hijacking the message. He should be incorporated in that to get on out there on the front line and help us out and become a BIE, proxy BIE. That's what I think about Eminem and people like him. I believe that I sent you that article. I'm sure you probably hadn't got a chance to it, but we're having an incident out here in Colorado where a white woman is taking a Hispanic kid to court for a middle school altercation that led to her son being stabbed with a pencil. The school neglected to get the child some medical attention right away. So, you know, he didn't die or anything, but the white mother says she's coming to sue the district for a racial lawsuit. So I want to put that out there so people kind of get an understanding, if they ain't already seen this happen before, just kind of understanding how this narrative is turning around on us. Right. And we're going to have to start kind of, as you would say, close up ranks and start tightening things up, you know, as best as we can, because these type of things right here will now all of a sudden be flipped on us. And as we all probably could agree, we don't have any real power to be labeled as racist, but right. I guess some people figure you can be a racist no matter whatever. I just wanted to thank you again, Scotty, for what you're doing with the radio station. And I did want to put a call out there for people, if you don't mind me to use this spot, and I'll mute my line. But I want to get Scotty, for the BTR listeners, I have some PA gear for Scotty. And I'm going to put out a notice in the BTR community to help me out with getting Scotty this equipment sent to him to help out the new abolitionist radio for them to go on the road and do some mobile meetings or, you know, gathering. So all my BTR family members, to look out on the L.A. Ramon page. I'll be asking y'all to help me to help Scotty and them out with that equipment. Thank you, Scotty, for everything you do, and I'll mute my line.
All right. Well, thank you. Oh, sorry about that. I'm trying to prepare for Tanya Free and Friends coming up. But thank you, Ramon, for your support. You know, you made a significant donation to help us get to Washington, D.C., where we rented that PA system, and you played a big role in helping me identify, you know, what package to get, and actually via remotely helped us set it up in real time. So I really appreciate you, Ramon, and we certainly will put that equipment to good use. That just will save us, and we again will work with other organizations, as we have been, that will save them money on having to put out a couple of $100 or whatnot to rent PA equipment. So thank you. Really appreciate your support of the network. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, did you have a question or comment? And then we'll go to Otis and recognize we only got a few more minutes as we got Tanya Free and Friends coming up, and I want to get them on air on time. But Thomas, did you have something to add real quickly?
No, I just was laughing hard with Ramona. Just said Eminem needs to be called the BIE. I watched that last night, and that's just how white supremacy works. He hijacks the movement. All these black people freestyling, none of them saying anything about what's going on, and here comes the white guy and all the black guys standing around in silence. It was just, you know how they do, Scott.
Yeah, I know.
I'm doing my line. Thank you, man.
Yeah, I know how they do. They be clowning. I know. All right, Otis, you get the last word, bro, besides myself, so you last caller of the day. Go ahead with your question or comment, Otis. And Otis will be on with us tonight on New Abolitionist Radio. We've kind of adopted him as a host.
I'm old school, Scotty. I'm going to say something to people. Just because something is new to you at the time of just release, don't think that's brand new. Part of the COINTELPRO program, part of propaganda, is when you have access to information. I'm going to say it this way. People that keep telling you about privacy, they've ignored Snowden. They've ignored the fact that 2005 documents were released at the FISA courts had NSA taking up all the metadata, which means everything mm-hmm. you do from Google mm-hmm. to eight other electronic corporations that use your data have all been given information to NSA, and everything is documented. Right. Everything you do has already been saved on servers.
Right.
These people go back, search for patterns, then they implement a plan. So don't think just because BIE just came out that it's something that was done overnight. I made a quip in one of your things to say Obama was probably already briefed on this
before he was
in August of this year. Understand that it's meant to deter you from the fact that you need to understand every time you open your mouth, every time you send an email, everything you do is all from keystrokes on Google. As a matter of fact, you, a technician, let me explain something to you that I never knew, but it made sense to me after doing some research. Even on Google, the cookies that are used to take you to multiple sites, not only do they communicate with the site that you're going to, because of the way Google is designed, that particular cookie has already been used by NSA to gather your indiscriminate information, means it's tagged to every other site that you've been to because you have a unique identifier. So stop thinking you're doing something subversive and Big Brother doesn't see you. He doesn't have to see you in real time.
Right.
He has algorithms that go back and look for your patterns, then pull up your conversations, your emails, and everything. So these people need to wake up and understand. You got that information when they're trying to now use it to deflect from something else that's going on.
All right. Well, Otis, we're going to have to leave it there. We got Tanya Free and Friends coming up at 2 in a few seconds here. But thank everyone for calling in and sharing their news and their views on this very important topic and the other things that we discussed today. I'll be back on air tomorrow again at noon Eastern time. That's 12 p.m. Eastern time with another episode of Black Talk Radio News. Recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a war been out there for hundreds of years, a war on black life, on all non-white life in this country. We had historical documents to prove all of this. We are not perceiving oppression. It is very real. It's not all in my mind, okay? And they're still practicing slavery and human trafficking by way of the 13th Amendment. And that you, unless you want to become a victim, is you need to join one of these formations of your choice and become active in the movement for justice and an end to slavery and white supremacy in this country. Peace and blessings to all.